Okay, hello everybody. So we're moving back to our 8 o'clock slot now that we can finish Mincha Maariv beforehand. So I think the 8 o'clock slot is better anyways for most people. We are now up to Kriyat Shema. So we finally made it all the way through the Siddur until Shema. But before we begin Shema, there are these three words which appear to be out of place, or we don't necessarily understand where, why they're there and what they're doing. And those words are Kel Melech Ne'eman. Three words, and for three words we can talk for, I don't know, 40 minutes, but we'll try to keep it a little bit shorter. So, what is Kel Melech Ne'eman about? Why is it after the two brachos of Birchos Kriyat Shema and before Shema? So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what is Kel Melech Ne'eman? What does it mean? God, King, and trusted, trustworthy. But what does that have to do with anything? What is there any source for the words Kel Melech Ne'eman? So the truth is that there's a statement from Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina made the same statement both in Gemara Shabbos and in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, "My Amen." What is Amen? And then the Gemara answers, "Kel Melech Ne'eman." Amen is an acronym for Kel Melech Ne'eman. So at least now we know that when we see the words Kel Melech Ne'eman, it's an acronym for Amen. Now, sorry, Amen is the acronym for Kel Melech Ne'eman. But what we noticed is that after we make a bracha, we only answer Amen. Technically, then, we should be able to answer Kel Melech Ne'eman after every bracha. Shakol Ne'evid Varo, Kel Melech Ne'eman. We don't do that. The custom is to only use the acronym, to only use Amen. Okay. By the way, just as a parenthetical thought, the Ben Yehoyada has an interesting idea on the Gemara. When the Gemara asks, "My Amen," so he is bothered by the question. How can they even ask, "What is Amen?" What do you mean, "What is Amen?" Of course, you know what Amen is. So he says, no, what's bothering the Gemara is as follows. He said that each letter of Amen is an allusion to God's name. If you look at the Aleph, if you look at the Ksav Ashuri, the Assyrian script of an Aleph, it looks like two Yuds and a Vav, sort of, which equals the 26, God's Yud Kei Vav Kei, God's name, the Gematria. If you look at a Mem, Mem looks like a combination of a Chaf and a Vav. Again, 26, equaling God's name. If you look at a Nun, you have to get a little more creative for the Nun, but the Nun has two Yuds. One Yud might be horizontal instead of vertical, and then you have a Vav. So you also have 26. So you see that each of the letters, Aleph, Mem, and Nun, equal 26. The problem is that the Nun that we're talking about, which equals 26, is the Nun Stuma. That's the closed Nun. But when we write Amen, we write Amen with a long Nun, the Nun Sofit, which is the Nun Psucha. And therefore, the Nun Psucha doesn't have a gematria of 26, just one long letter. It's one long line. It's just a Vav, or a Yud and a Vav, maybe. So the Ben Yoyada said, the question that the Gemara is bothered with, "My Amen, what is Amen?" The question is, the Nun doesn't fit. How does the Nun fit in without having the gematria of 26? So the answer is, it's true, even though the Nun Stuma has 26, Amen still refers to Kel Melech Ne'eman, even though it has an open Nun, not a closed Nun. So that's a cute, interesting, I thought, from the Ben Yehoyada. But leaving that all aside, so we know what Kel Melech Ne'eman, the acronym for Kel Melech Ne'eman is Amen. Very nice. But how in the world does it make it into the section before Kriyat Shema? Why is it here? Now, there's nothing mentioned in the Gemara about it, nothing mentioned in the Mishnah. However, there is a Medrash, and this is how everything begins. There's a fascinating Medrash in Medrash Tanchuma, I believe it's in Parshas Kedoshim, that Kriyas Shema has 248 words in it. 248 words corresponding to the idea that there are 248 limbs in a person's body. So, the And what does 248 do for us? The 248 limbs and the 248 words of the Shema. So the another Medrash says, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, "Rifus hi l'sarecha," that it is a healing for our body. What's the healing for our body? That when you talk about, when you say each word of Kriya Shema, each word of Shema correlates to one limb, and by saying Shema, by saying 248 words of Shema, all 248 limbs of ours are healed. That is the midrashic, at least let's call it spiritually healed. That's the midrashic approach. The problem with that statement of the Medrash is that there are only 245 words in Kriya Shema. Truth is, there is actually less, because Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed is 6 words. So you take away 6 from the Shema, and you're left with 239 words. But we have 245. So how do we get to the other three? Or sorry, 238. Anyhow, how do you get to the last three, to 248 from 245 with Baruch Shem? Where do you get those 3 words? So the Sefer HaManig, the Agur, all quoted in the Beis Yosef, all write that we have a custom to get to 248. You know how we make sure we can straighten out that medrash, that it's 248? We add 3 words, Kel Melech Ne'eman. And now you have 248. And the Bach even says that the Rokeach made it fashionable. He put it in every siddur. Every siddur has in it Kel Melech Ne'eman before Shema begins. And when you say Kel Melech Ne'eman with the rest of Shema, you get 248. Parenthetically, if you look in the Tur writes that there were 244 words in the Shema, and then Kel Melech Ne'eman only makes it 247. So he said that, he writes, you're supposed to answer Amen, Kel Melech Ne'eman. So that's how you get 4 letters, 4 words to get you to 248. Of course, the question is, how can you tell me it's 244? You count them up, it's 245. So the Bach writes that the words La'olam Va'ed from Baruch Shem, he understood it to be one word. La'olam Va'ed is 1 word, and that's why you needed another 4. But nevertheless, the idea here that many, many of the Rishonim point out is that we have 245 words in Shema, but in order to square the Medrash, we add in the words Kel Melech Ne'eman, and now we have 248. So then the question is, that's really nice that Kel Melech Ne'eman are the 3 words that we add in. Why don't we add in any other 3 words? Why specifically Kel Melech Ne'eman? So there's an interesting Ramban in the beginning of Brachos. The Ramban talks about the institution of Kel Melech Ne'eman and whether that's appropriate or not, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And he says the reason why Kel Melech Ne'eman was instituted as those 3 words to make it 248 is because it kills 2 birds with 1 stone. What do you mean? Well, he said on the one hand, the tzibur needs to answer Amen to the bracha of Ava Rabba. On the other hand, they also need to get 3 more words for 248 of Shema. So if you answer Kel Melech Ne'eman, that's answering Amen for Ava Rabba, and now you have the 3 words for Shema. So you use this Kel Melech Ne'eman as a bridge, and now you accomplish two bird you kill 2 birds with 1 stone. The Ramban, by the way, does suggest that maybe the custom wasn't really to say Kel Melech Ne'eman. Maybe the custom was really just to answer Amen. But because Amen stands for Kel Melech Ne'eman, they counted it as 3. However, in the Siddurim, they ended up putting in the words Kel Melech Ne'eman. So that's a suggestion that the Ramban offers. But again, the question is, what does Kel Melech Ne'eman have to do with Kriya Shema? We know it's answering Amen to the Bracha of Ava Rabba, but what does it have to do with Shema? So the Me'iri writes in his introduction to Pirkei Avos that it's almost like a bridge between Ava Rabba and Shema, in the sense that it's a form of Ava Rabba. Kel Melech Ne'eman is talking about God's greatness and about his love for us. That's why he's our king and our trusted king and God. And at the same time, it's also strengthening. He says the words, it's a Chozek Mitzius. So it's in a sense, it strengthens his reality. When we say Kel Melech Ne'eman, we're strengthening his reality. And Shema is essentially about coronating God as our king. So it's the same, similar idea. So you have, again, as we said, it's the bridge, and it connects to both Avarabba and to Kriyashma. But there's a problem with this widespread custom. And the Ramban points out the problem with the custom. The problem is as follows. Avarabba, says the Ramban, is a birchas mitzvah. It's a bracha we're making on a mitzvah. And like we said a number of times, at least two times, the last two shiurim, when you're making a bracha to shake the lulav, you don't make the bracha, and then answer, and make a hefsik in between, and then start shaking the lulav. You make the bracha, and then you begin the mitzvah. Similarly here too, if Avarabba is a birchas hamitzvah, you say the bracha, and then you begin the mitzvah of Shema. You can't have a hefsik in between. So, says the Ramban, how can we answer Kel Melech Ne'aman? If all we're saying is Amen, we're making a hefsik in between our bracha. You can't do that. Besides for which, there's an additional rabbinic problem, which is, you're not, except for in one or two exceptions, you're not allowed to answer Amen after your own bracha. So you can't say Shakol Nia Bidvaro Amen. You know, sometimes when you're studying, I know when I'm learning with or helping those who are not observant yet, and they're asking about certain brachos. This happens a lot when at a funeral, for example. So we'll do the kriya. I'll do the kriya with them, and we'll make the bracha of dayin ha'emes. So I'll ask them to repeat after me: Baruch, Baruch Ata Hashem, dayan ha'emes. And then I'll answer Amen to their bracha, and then they answer Amen. Again, but you're not supposed to answer Amen after your own bracha. So, says the Ramban, you have two problems. Again, number one, you can't make a hefsek in between the bracha of the mitzvah. And how can you answer Amen in between? And besides for the fact, you can't answer Amen after your own bracha. So the question is, And by the way, the Ramban's words, very straight, very harif. He says, anyone who says Kel Melech Ne'aman before Shema is a toa, they're mistaken, and they're a boor. They're debased. Strange words to say just for reciting Kel Melech Ne'aman, but that's what the Ramban writes. So the question then is, how did this minhag evolve? If the Ramban is so stark that you're not allowed to recite Kel Melech Ne'aman, all these Rishonim said this is the custom, the widespread custom. So how did it evolve? The Ramban said, I'll tell you how it evolved. The way that it evolved is because the Shliach Tzibur was the person who was reciting the bracha, and no one knew how to recite the bracha, so all they would do is answer Amen. So if we don't know the bracha, we have to answer Amen in order to include ourselves in the bracha. So, for example, when we blow shofar, the Baal Tokeya blows the shofar. He makes the bracha on the shofar, and then he blows the shofar. How can we answer Amen in between? Aren't we making a hefsek, an interruption in between? That's true, but by us answering Amen, we're including ourselves in the bracha. So if we're making the bracha, we can't answer Amen, but if we're answering Amen to a bracha that we've heard, that's not considered an interruption. So here too, the way that the minhag evolved was that the congregation wasn't reciting the bracha of Avarabba. They were just listening to the Shliach Tzibur, and they answered Amen, and then went right into Shema. But now that we're Yotzei with our own recitation, we can't do it. So again, now, by the way, we all know, as I mentioned a little bit ago, we're familiar with this discussion, whether Avarabba and Yotzer HaMa'oros is considered a birchas hamitzvah or a birchas hashvach. We saw that the Sephardic custom, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that both Yotzer HaMa'oros and Avarabba are considered birchas hamitzvos, and therefore we don't answer Amen according to the Sephardic minhag on both of them. The Ashkenazic minhag is the opposite, that they're both considered birchas hashvach, and therefore you can answer Amen to both. Yes, the Ashkenazic custom is to be a little more strict, if we can, to follow the shla, and then end off the bracha of Avarabba together with the Shliach Tzibur, but in principle, both are considered birchas hashvach, and we can answer Amen after both. Parenthetically, the Ramban, in his commentary over here, he takes a hybrid approach. He says the first bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros is considered a birchas hashvach, which you can answer Amen, but the bracha of Avarabba is a berachas mitzvah, which you cannot answer Amen. So again, that should close the circle of that discussion we've had the last two the last 2 weeks. The Shulchan. Okay, so now the question is, well, fine. The Ramban writes, Kel Melech Ne'aman is a non-starter. You can't say it because, again, number one, it's a hefzik in between the bracha and the mitzvah. And number two, you can't answer amen after your own bracha. Well, then what are you supposed to do? The Medrash says 248, 248 limbs, rifos hila sarecha, we have to heal our bones. And if we don't say 248 words of the Shema, we can't heal all our bones. We're going to be three short. How do we do this? So the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar, which says that the Shliach Tzibur repeats the last two words of Kriya Shema and the first word of the next paragraph, which we're familiar with, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. When the Chazan repeats those three words, we listen to it, we're Yotzei Shomea Ka'ona, and now we have 248. And says the Beis Yosef, V'chein Nogu B'nei Sfarad, that all of the Persian, the Spanish communities, they followed that approach. That was the Minhag Sfarad. Now, it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch or the Beis Yosef wrote that the custom, by the way, this was based on the words from the Zohar, that the Zohar wrote that the Shliach Tzibur says those three words and everyone listens. Why only the Shliach Tzibur? Why can't I say it? Why is it just that we have to listen to the Shliach Tzibur? So the Minchas Elazar, I saw this in the Piskei Tshuvos, the Minchas Elazar writes that the 248 limbs are the 248 limbs dila'ela in Shemayim, the heavenly limbs, whatever that means, I don't know. And he says, which can only be healed through the Koach HaTzibur, and therefore only the Shliach Tzibur can say it on behalf of everyone. However, the truth is that the Rama writes that if a Yachid wants to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes together with the Shliach Tzibur, that's also fine. But what's very clear, even from the Rama, is that it can only be done in the context of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Hashem Elokeichem Emes can only be said B'Tzibur. So, that leads us to the next question. So again, just to catch up again, up till now, the first idea was you have 245, you say Kel Melech Ne'aman, you get 248, and that was a widespread Ashkenazic minhag. Then the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef comes along from this Ramban and others and says, wait a second, Kel Melech Ne'aman doesn't work, so how do you do it? Hashem Elokeichem Emes is how you get your last three words. But that only seems to work if it's in the context of a Tefillah B'Tzibur. But if I'm not davening with a minyan, then where do I get those three words from? So the Beis Yosef says, a fascinating thing, there's another way to get to the extra three words. Okay, get ready for this. This is that there's 15 vavs in the next paragraph after Shema, V'yatzev v'nachon v'kayim v'yarshem v'neman v'uvechaviv v'nechman v'im v'nerav v'dir u'musukan v'kubal v'tov v'yafeh. So there's 15 vavs. Each of them start with the letter vav. So it says the Beis Yosef as follows. 15 vavs, and the vav, the numerical value is 6, which equals 90. What does it have to do with anything? Well, God's name is 26, as we've discussed before, as we've established before, plus there are four letters of God's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, so that's 30. So what happens? You have 90 Vavs, and which equal three Yud, Kei, Vav, Keis. So what happens? You have God's name three times. That is, and so therefore, when you concentrate on those 15 Vavs, it's as if you said three more words, which are God's name three times. That is what the Beis Yosef writes. The Rama actually says it a little differently. The Rama has another fascinating way to understand it, which is, it says 15 vavs plus the four letters of God's name gives you 30 and then 90. But when you say it out loud, that counts as one, giving you 91. So what is 91? How does 91 help us? Well, God's name is 26. And then God, another one of God's names, Adonai, is 65. And 26 and 65 equals 91. What's 91? Amen. So you have two of God's names and Amen together. Those are three different words. You get 248. So that's another way to get to that point. I will add, though, that the Birkei Yosef writes that, and this is quoted in the Shari Tshuva, that someone who davens biyachidus can also say Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And that's recorded as the Arizal's custom, and that's the general Kabbalistic approach to say Hashem Elokecha Memes. Not Kel Melech Neman. Kel Melech Neman is completely off the board according to this approach. But there's even another option to say Hashem Elokecha Memes, even not in the context of Tefillah B'Tzibur, which is a fascinating approach that's brought down by many of the Hasidic Rebbes followed that this approach of the Arizal. But how do we paskin? So how do we paskin? Clearly, as we've seen, there's a big divide between the French Ashkenazi Jewry and Sephardic Jewry already by the time of the Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch therefore writes, following that Sephardic approach, Kel Melech Ne'eman is never recited. It is not part of any Sephardic Siddur. Kel Melech Ne'eman doesn't belong. B'yachidus, B'tzibur, you will never say Kel Melech Ne'eman because you can't even answer Amen after the brachas. Even Yotzeram Oros, you can't answer Amen. So Kel Melech Ne'eman is never there. So what does he say? So Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Samech Aleph Sif Gimel that if you're davening B'tzibur, then listen to the Shliach Tzibur, repeat the words Hashem Elokecham Emes, and that's how you get your three letters, three words, to 248. What about if you're davening B'yachidus? If you're davening alone, then you can't repeat the words Hashem Elokecham Emes, but you can concentrate on the 15 vavs in order to get your three letters or three words of Hashem that are equal to God's name three times. Again, as I mentioned before, there's a Hasidish minhag that you even B'yachidus, you can answer Hashem Elokecham Emes. How about the Ramah? What does the Ramah do? Ashkenazic Jewry was very clear. Kel Melech Ne'eman is permissible all the time, because you can answer Amen after Avarabba, so Kel Melech Ne'eman should be fine. However, the Ramah makes a pshara. He makes a compromise, and he says, even though Ashkenazic Jewry was fond of saying Kel Melech Ne'eman, they're fans of saying Kel Melech Ne'eman, he said that we only will recite Kel Melech Ne'eman b'yachidus. If we're davening B'tzibur, we're not going to say Kel Melech Ne'eman. We're going to rely on the Shliach Tzibur repeating Hashem Elokecham Emes, like the Zohar, and that's how we'll get our other three words. But if we're davening on our own, since we can't repeat Hashem Elokecham Emes, we'll recite earlier Kel Melech Ne'eman. That is the Ashkenazic approach. Again, the Hasidic approach is still there to repeat Hashem Elokecham Emes, even B'yachidus. The question then is, what if you have slow daveners or late arrivals who are coming to shul? So they're in the middle of Shema, maybe. They're saying Shema with a lot of kavana. The Shliach Tzibur is davening very fast, and he's at the end. But you want to get your 248 words. You have to listen to Hashem Elokecha Memes. Can I just stop wherever I am and listen to those three words? And then I'm yotzi with Shomea Ka'oneh. The problem is, theoretically, if I stop my davening and I listen to those three words, Hashem Elokecham Emes, then I have made a hefsek in the middle of my davening. I have now interrupted my Shema with three new words, because if hearing is exactly like speaking, then I've spoken. So how does that work? So the truth is that the poskim say, no, it's not a problem. Wherever you are in davening, if you come to shul and you hear Hashem Elokecham Emes, you got it. You got the extra three words. Because at the end of the day, it's not really a hefsek, because you have to remember, it's a chumrah here. All we're trying to do is get fulfill the words of the Medrash to get those three words so that we have 248 rifus hi l'sarecha. That's the key. So therefore, we're not talking about a real shomea ka'ones situation where you've made a hefsek and you're davening. You have to hear it, so you hear the three words and you get the 248. That's fine. The Beis Yosef actually comes up with two other approaches of a three-word combination that was brought down in some of the Rishonim. The first one, which is brought down, is that the Shliach Tzibur would actually repeat Li Yos Lachem Lelokim. Before you get to Ani Hashem Elokechem and Emes, the Shliach Tzibur would repeat Li Yos Lachem Lelokim. I'm not sure if it's Lios Lachem Lelokim, Lios Lachem Lelokim, Ani Hashem Lokecham Emes, or Lios Lachem Lelokim, Ani. That's probably my guess. He would say Lios Lachem Lelokim, then he would say Lios Lachem Lelokim, Ani Hashem Lokecham Emes. And that's how you get the three words. Of course, the word Emes is not really part of the 248, right? Emes is not really part of Shema. Emes is part of the next paragraph. If you look in the Parsha Shlach, where we have the last paragraph of Shema, it ends off, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So the Beis Yosef quotes this custom from the Rav Yitzchak Abuav, but says that's not appropriate to say Lios Lachem Lelokim, and therefore that wasn't one of the suggested approaches. It was just Hashem Elokeichem Emes. However, there is another approach which actually did get traction, and it's got traction in the Lubavitch community, and I didn't understand what was going on until someone in our community who davens the Nisuch of Chabad was saying it this way, and it didn't make any sense to me, and I didn't get it, but now I understand it. The Beis Yosef quotes a Sefer HaPliya. The Sefer HaPliya writes that the minug was to repeat three different words, not Hashem Elokeichem Emes, but Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, the truth is, this sort of makes more sense. Why? First of all, Emes is not part of the Shema. So you run into the same issue with Kel Melech Ne'eman. Why are you saying Kel Melech Ne'eman if it really doesn't have anything to do with the Shema? Emes doesn't really have anything to do with the Shema. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, a repetition of those three words, that fits. It has to do with the Shema. You're repeating the words in Parsha Shlach. But the Beis Yosef explains that almost all the poskim and the Rishonim are against this. And the reason why is because it's not what the Zohar says. The Zohar says that the Shliach Tzibur repeats Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Now again, there's that. We'll get to this point in the, who knows when, and maybe in a few weeks. But there is a discussion of when you get the Hashem Elokeichem Emes, when you're davening privately, do you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes? And then, well, yeah, that's what we usually do. But the Shliach Tzibur, if the Shliach Tzibur is leading the davening, does he say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, Hashem Elokeichem Emes? Or does he end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then when he repeats it, he says Emes? That's another discussion. Again, it gets into the issue of 248. But the point is that Emes isn't really part of Shema. So that is one reason why saying Ani Hashem Elokeichem would be, as the three extra words, would make more sense. But there's actually another halachic reason why it would make more sense. We have a rule that, and we've discussed this before, that you're not allowed to split up psukim. And if you're not allowed to split up the psukim, how can you say Hashem Elokeichem Emes? It's it's smack in the middle of a pasuk. But if you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it is technically in the middle of a pasuk, but using the trup, using the cantillation after an esnachta, that's considered technically a new pasuk. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Yostachem Lelokim, comma, Ani Hashem Elokeichem is actually then considered technically a full halachic sentence. And therefore, you wouldn't be splitting up a pasuk in that scenario. That would be a better three words to use, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, instead of Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And it turns out that this is actually the Lubavitch custom. The Lubavitch custom is to end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. They'll end off with Emes too, but the Emes is just kind of connecting to the next piece of the paragraph, but it's not part of the count of 248. So you have now a number of different minhagim. You have the traditional Sephardic approach, you have the Ashkenazic approach, there's the Hasidic approach that's even to say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, even biyachid, and then we have the Lubavitch custom, which is to end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So if you're ever in shul, and you hear somebody ending off out loud Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and you look in your RCA sitter, your archival sitter, and you say, wait a second, that's not what the chazan is supposed to do. Now you know that there are various different minhagim. So that was about, 30 minutes of Kel Melech Ne'eman. There's a lot to talk about. I'm glad we can hit almost all of the salient points. And next time we will begin to delve into the Shema itself. Have a wonderful evening.